Matthew 27, verses 33 through 37. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head was placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtains of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. Luke 23, verses 50 through 53. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of our Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen."
Good morning, Greenview Alliance Church. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We come together this morning in a unique way, again, because of the circumstances, but that doesn't change anything because our God is unchanging. And so as we worship him this morning, may our hearts come together as one, and may the Holy Spirit do an awesome thing. As you worship in your homes, as we worship here at the church, may it come together as one as we celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Let's worship together.
Your joys and triumphs, I equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners," say it with me, "Christ died for us." Psalm 18:49, "Therefore I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name."
Good morning. Greenview Alliance Church family and others out there that are jumping in here. Really appreciate you coming in today and spending some time here this Resurrection Sunday morning with us here at Greenview. Obviously, again, live from the library. This is different. I've been reflecting on this for a few days, as far as I can recall, since I became a follower of Jesus. I believe it's been 35 years ago. This August, I have always been in church with my church body, whoever that is, Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. And here we are doing this via YouTube Live and on my Facebook Live page as well. And it's definitely, it's strange, it's different, but we're making the best out of it. And praise God, Easter has not been canceled, as some people are saying. It's been canceled, and it's absolutely not been canceled. The cross is empty. The tomb is empty. Praise the Lord. I don't know how you spent your Holy Week. For us, we had Passover Wednesday night. Had a wonderful Passover service. Thank you to those who jumped in and the feedback we got from you, where our family did a live stream event there from Facebook with Passover, and really enjoyed doing that. Once again, it was different, but still very special nonetheless. And then we had Good Friday, which was really special, live from the national office. If you got to see any of that, that was really neat. Our family watched some of The Chosen. If you haven't had a chance to look at that, that is really, wow, impactful, emotional, really interesting. Love to talk to some of you that have seen that at some point about that, because that's just really, really quality. Although it's not straight scripture, it's an interesting interpretation of the lives of some of the people that interacted with Jesus and what that might have looked like. So that's how we spent part of our Saturday. And then probably we'll be doing that a little bit more this afternoon, since it's free to watch on YouTube currently. Wanted to talk to you this morning about some of the testimonies regarding the resurrection. And the thought to move us into that is, if there is no resurrection, there's no hope. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope. N.T. Wright said the following: the resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and that you are now invited to belong to it. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we come in that name that is above all names, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah. And we thank you, God, that when Jesus ascended, he made a promise to us that that part of yourself, the Holy Spirit, would be here. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us, living in us and through us. And we give our time over to you this morning, praying that you'll do abundantly more than we can expect, hope, dream, or even imagine. As we look at your word together, as we pray, as we have spent time in worship, and Lord, we need you more than ever in this crazy world that we're living in. God, we ask your blessing upon our time, and we pray that your word would not return void, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. What I wanted to do this morning was read to you from the Chronological Bible, and this is the Daily Bible Chronological, that periodically I like to read, and this year I'm reading through this version of the Bible. And I wanted to read to you the compilation of the story of the resurrection taken from the gospel accounts, and then all blended together in the Chronological Bible. So this will be starting in Matthew 28, 2 through 4, but again, it's going to blend in with a lot of other passages from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so I won't be touching on which ones each time, but I'm just going to read through it. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, or James, and Salome bought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. So Mary Magdalene came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen as appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. When they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and what doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." May God bless the reading of his holy word this morning. So I wanted to give you a taste of what it looks like as you put kind of the gospel accounts together and hear what happened kind of in its totality from that time at the tomb and then up and through the end of that first day that we're working ourselves through today, actually. So as you think about what today would look like on our calendar, what I just read to you is all the different things that were happening that day, and then the next day starts with Thomas. But what we heard is basically when we think of Easter or Resurrection Sunday, these are the accounts of what happened. So I wanted to just say the testimonies about the resurrection and then bring it back to the end here, because the testimony is a super important thing related to events that happen. And we're going to hear testimonies from several different people related to this. And then, as I said, we'll kind of bring it full circle back to ourselves. So the first one is his own predictions. That is Jesus's own predictions. And we see this in John 2:19-21, Matthew 16:21, Matthew 17:22-23, Matthew 20:17-19. And Jesus, in speaking about himself, makes these rather odd statements that are very disconcerting to his apostles when he says, "Don't you know that the Son of Man must be crucified, must be brought to death, will be handed over to be brought to death, and then will rise on the third day?" I'm certain that because of the way that they responded to it, that they were very taken aback by Jesus's statements about himself. But he didn't hide it. He made it very obvious that he was aware of where he was heading. And as he made that trek for that final Seder or Passover service, the events that would immediately follow that were going to ultimately lead to his crucifixion, his death, and then, of course, what we celebrate today, his resurrection. But he had predicted these things to happen. He had already been speaking about them for quite a while. And in fact, the chief priests bring it up, as we read a minute ago in Matthew 27:62-63. The chief priests raise this as a concern themselves. It was so well known and spoken about that they even brought it up amongst themselves. And they said, "Hey, that liar was talking about how he would end up raising after 3 days." And they had recalled Jesus speaking about this. In fact, Jesus had spoken about it when walking by the temple, and when he had spoken about it and saying, "Well, if you destroy the temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days." And of course, there was confusion, and they were thinking, "Well, it took how long to build the temple, and you think that it can be rebuilt?" All the while talking about the temple that was his body. So the chief priests and the leaders are going over this conversation, and so they go and they talk to Pontius Pilate, and they say, "Hey, we're really concerned that he's going to be worse for us in his death and in his life, and we need to have something special happen with that." And so that is why they rolled the stone in front of the door, and they had it sealed with a special seal, and they wanted to make sure that nothing would happen. Now, they didn't believe that he was going to be resurrected, but they certainly were concerned that some of his followers would come and try to steal the body. So they were well-equipped soldiers. They were ready for that event. And of course, the stone couldn't hold Jesus in there. By the way, the reason the stone was rolled away was really in honor of those who were about to come see him, because they were talking about it, if you recall, on the way there. How are we going to get in there to minister to our Lord's body? That is the ladies, Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother Mary and others who were coming. So I believe out of a courtesy and honor to them, God had the stone rolled away for them. Jesus didn't require that stone to be rolled away to come out of the tomb. So Jesus' own predictions were part of the testimonies toward the resurrections. And then we have the Old Testament prophecies. And we see this in a lot of different places. I only picked on a few that I'm going to talk about here. And what I realized, I'm going to have to grab a Bible. So hold on one second. Yeah, I was going to originally use my phone and just look up scriptures that way. But I can't do that because I'm trying to do a Facebook Live for people that struggle with the YouTube thing from last time. So now I'm doing the Facebook Live. And then the Bible here that I'm using to just read that story to you chronologically is really hard to find individual scriptures because they're kind of jumping around a bit. So instead, I'm just going to grab one right off the bookshelf here. So the Old Testament prophecies, we have Psalm 16 is one of them. Psalm 16, 9 and 10. And it says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Now this is David talking, and David oftentimes, if you read through the Psalms and kind of juxtaposition or compare that to Jesus, what we see is that he is speaking in a prophetic way as he is lamenting or thinking about his own life. He also is looking toward that person of Jesus Christ, his great, 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 how many great grandsons. And in this case, this is one of those prophetic utterances that, unlike David, who would go into the grave and his body would see decay, Jesus Christ's body would not see decay. Isaiah, one of the really amazing passages of scripture that's prophetic, and one that hopefully is one of your favorites to read, especially at this time, is Isaiah 53. And in verse 10 we read, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand." And the reason that this is another one that's of a prophetic utterance is, though it was the Lord's will to crush him and make him suffer, and that Jesus' life was a guilt offering because of our guilt, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Jesus was able to prosper because he resurrected. Again, if there was no resurrection, there's no hope. If Jesus simply just died on the cross for our sins, but he could not fulfill the prophecies that he had spoken and were spoken about by King David and by Isaiah, then we really don't have any hope, because the Lord Jesus has proven to be a liar. He himself said that he would come back to life, that he would be resurrected. The prophets spoke of him being able to overcome death. He had already resurrected Lazarus from the dead. He had brought him back. And so if Jesus was not able to do this, then he would have been proven to be a false hope and a false promise. But of course, he is risen. And you can, in your place, of course, say he is risen indeed. Praise the Lord. So those are a couple of the Old Testament prophecies, and there's a lot more. But another one that I'll point out to you is spoken of looking backwards toward it in Acts, as the apostles think on these things. And two of them that I'll point out, again, there's a lot of them, but two of them that I'll point out are in Acts 2, 29-32. That's Acts 2. If you're writing this down, I'm sorry, I know I'm going pretty fast. Acts 2, 29-32. "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he would not abandon to the grave, he would not be abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of the Father, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And it goes on from there. And we see this amazing dynamic revival type sermon that's being preached here. And at the heart of every great sermon, and of course the gospel itself, is the fact that Jesus is alive. That he was not just a great teacher, he was not just a great preacher and healer and prophet, but Jesus is alive and well. And he has risen, and he had power over death, and he had power over the grave, and he had power over Hades itself. And now Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, it says, interceding on our behalf, and we praise him. So those are a few of the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. And then the other one I'll read to you also out of Acts, and this is Acts 13, 36 and 37, Acts 13, 36 and 37. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. Again, talking about Jesus here. So these are just some of the many prophecies regarding Jesus in the Old Testament. These specifically having to do with the fact that he would be resurrected and brought back to life. The other testimony actually comes from angels. So we have both the predictions of Jesus, the predictions from the Old Testament prophets, and then we also have angels themselves, which we see angels that were there when Jesus was in the grave. And I'll start in Matthew 28. And we'll just start in verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples." So we see that the angel himself speaks this truth out and is the declarer of this information to those that came to minister to the body of Jesus, that being Mary Magdalene and friends. And we see that the angel himself, after having moved the stone, tells them, hey, he is not here. It was just as he said it would be. He has risen. And then finally, looking at the human witnesses, and if you're still there in Matthew 28:9-10, so the women hurried away from the grave, from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." So we see a few of the human witnesses there, and then a good compilation of the other ones is 1 Corinthians 15. So 1 Corinthians 15, again, another great sermon being preached. 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll start in verse 3. And this is something we're very familiar with if you're here at Greenview with us, especially the first Sunday of the month. Since I've been here, you have heard this many times, if not maybe dozens of times, as I'm going on my fifth year here with y'all. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our own sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the first day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. So here we see, as I said, kind of a compilation of those who were seeing Jesus. And we see that Paul's walking through this. And we see that the ladies saw him and Peter saw him, and then the 12 saw them, and then more than 500, the brothers, and we know that, Cleopas also. So there are many people that were testifying to the resurrection of Jesus. So we have all these, human witnesses that also, saw Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you have not seen Jesus face to face. You have heard about Jesus testified by somebody that you know, or multiple somebodies that you know. You heard about how their lives were changed as Jesus came into their life. That is what drew you to Jesus, to discover for yourself whether or not he was really who he said he was. And we take a step of faith, although we have more scripture to read about and more readily available and in more languages than anybody in the history of the world has. We still have to take a step of faith because Jesus, at least in my experience, has not chosen to reveal himself like he did after the resurrection. In fact, he said that he would go so that somebody could come in his stead, and that would be the Holy Spirit of God, who again, like a wind, is invisible, but you can see the effects of the Holy Spirit both in your life and in the life of others around you. And so when it comes to the testimonies about the resurrection, I can't testify to you from a personal first-hand account, not having been there and seeing Jesus rise from the dead. I can only tell you that from my own life and my own experience, I know that I know that I know that Jesus is alive and well. And I know that because of what he's done in my life, because of the change that's taken place in my life. At this time of year during Holy Week, like many of you, I can't help but reflect on how my life has changed because of the fact that Jesus is alive. And what would it be like if I was only given a false hope? If somebody had told me about this God who loves me and this Jesus who died on the cross for me, but wasn't able to overcome sin and death? What if he didn't rise from the dead? Does that make any difference? It makes all the difference in the world. There can be no power and authority in our prayers if Jesus is not alive. We can't really have a Savior if he's not a resurrected Savior. We can't have complete faith and trust in a God who makes promises and then is unable to or impotent to fulfill those promises. And Jesus said that he would rise from the dead, and he did indeed rise from the dead. As we close, I want to share with you a story I read, and this is from Max Lucado in his book, 6 Hours, One Sunday. And he tells the story of a missionary in Brazil who discovered a tribe of Indians in a remote part of the jungle. They lived near a large river. The tribe was in need of medical attention. A contagious disease was ravaging the population. People were dying daily. A hospital was not too terribly far away, across the river, but the Indians would not cross it because they believed the river was inhabited by evil spirits, and to enter its water would mean certain death. The missionary explained how he had crossed the river and was unharmed, but they were not impressed. He then took them to the bank and placed his hand in the water. They still wouldn't go in. He walked into the water up to his waist and splashed water on his face. It didn't matter. They were still afraid to enter the river. Finally, He dove into the river, swam beneath the surface, until he emerged on the other side. He raised a triumphant fist into the air. He had entered the water and escaped. It was then that the Indians broke into a cheer and followed him across. Isn't that what Jesus did? He entered the river of death and came out on the other side, so that we might no longer fear death, but find eternal life in him. And I hope that resonates with you, and I hope once again is that you reflect on your life and your story, whatever it might be, that you can recall that time when you needed to know that you know that you know, and you took a step of faith, and you believe what people were telling you, and you believe what Scripture was saying, and suddenly you didn't have to look to find Jesus. You didn't have to search the world for him, because he had decided to take up residence through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit right inside you. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Will you pray with me? Father, we indeed thank you for this day, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you that you touch us in so many ways through answered prayers, through an uplifting of our spirits, through the shalom that you've given us, through the fact that we can have faith and peace through a time like this. That God, we don't have to be afraid like so many in the world are now, as they think about what's going to happen. Where am I going to go? If I get sick, what's going to happen to me? Thank you, Lord, that we can have full confidence and faith and know that we know that we know that not only has Christ risen, but because of that, we will rise again too. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we ask your blessing upon our day in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't run away and you stick around for a minute, at least those of you that are part of the YouTube part of this, we are going to have a closing song, and Pastor Steve's going to fire over to that here momentarily. So God bless you. Happy Easter. I hope that you have a blessed day. Love you guys. Miss you. Can't wait till we get together again soon.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful